Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and help you grow your agency. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where it's our job to find the geniuses, innovators, movers, and shakers in the insurance industry, and to discern and deconstruct what they do so you can grow your agency faster. And this conversation, I think, is going, you will soon discover, is a masterclass in digital marketing from one of the best in the industry. I have known Brett Pierce for the last 7 years when we first met outside of Travelers Insurance, and he escorted me through the land of red umbrellas to meet with executive personnel at Travelers, to where we discussed changes that were happening in the digital landscape, and then we showed them the first platform of Agency Revolution. Brett was a seasoned professional then, and since then, he has been paying attention to what works and what doesn't work in digital marketing for insurance agents, and he has developed tools and a series of techniques that if you're a Travelers agent, you should check out what Brett is doing. I can say that without equivocation. He is not only one of the good guys, he's one of the smart guys. He is the digital marketing and social media manager at Travelers. He works in the personal insurance agency and field sales solutions team. And we cover a lot of the fundamental basics. Virtually everything that we talk about in this conversation, you can apply quickly and get quick results from. So let me share with you very quickly some of the things that we cover. How you can improve your website so it gets better conversion. Also, how you can get more traffic so that you get more people visiting your website so that they will convert. We talk about what you should be doing with social media, his observation about which sites or which social media sites you should be using and what you should be doing on them, and a very important topic, what you should be doing and how you should be influencing online review sites like Google Review, Yelp, and so on and so forth. So I think this will stand as one you probably want to listen to a couple of times. Before I introduce Brett, first of all, I want to thank the listeners who have given me feedback on the podcast. You can do that easily on LinkedIn. You can find my profile there, or you can email me at michael@agencyrevolution.com. Your feedback means a lot. I want to hear what you want to hear about. I would also like to hear who you would like me to interview. So if you have friends, colleagues, contacts, or you're aware of somebody that you just think should be a guest on this podcast, would love for you to give me their names and contact information if you've got it. And also one last thing as a favor. If you listen to a particular podcast and you like it, if you'd be kind enough to share a link to that or say something about that on LinkedIn, that would also go a long way. I'd be extremely grateful for that. So now, without further ado, I introduce you to one of the true masters of digital marketing in this space, my friend, Brett Pierce. Hello, Brett Pierce. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great, Michael. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited about this. So now, you and I do go back many, many years, and I recall, I think, first meeting you outside the Travelers building in Hartford, Connecticut. And as I recall, you needed to escort me in, and we were there to talk about breakthroughs and changes in digital marketing and technology. And you know, again, years ago, I'm thinking we probably had that conversation about 7 years ago, and everybody was kind of waking up. maybe to the fact that the world was changing. Now here we are about 7 years later, and we've seen even more changes, and that's what I want to dive into with you, okay?
That sounds great.
All righty. So let's kind of take this, you know, sort of in order. So let's start with, because I know you deal with this a lot, with agency websites. What you're seeing, what you're liking, and, of course, what you're not liking. So share with me and our audience your observations about kind of the state of the industry with agency sites.
Sure. So obviously, as you mentioned, a lot has definitely changed over the years. And we'll start with the positives. You know, the good news is more and more agents are updating their websites. We're starting to see more agency websites that are highly functional and look great and are mobile responsive. So on the positive side there, you know, that's definitely a trend that I'm noticing. However, I would say in terms of
so that's it. The good news is over, right? Is that what you're saying? And now you're going to give us a critical view. All right. I think that's good. So yes, what else are you seeing besides more and more are looking good and functional? What are some of the problems that you're seeing?
So I would say, you know, even though that trend is continuing, the biggest problem I'm still seeing is that not all agency websites are mobile responsive on all devices and browsers. And as you know, that's very important these days. It's a Google ranking factor in their search algorithm.
Right.
Having a mobile responsive website really, really is critical. So that's probably, you know, a number one takeaway. If people decide to hang up after the first couple of minutes or not listen to the whole session here, then I would say that's certainly something to take away, is make sure that agency website is mobile responsive and test it on all different types of browsers and all different types of devices. So if you own an iPhone, don't just check it on your iPhone. Check it on an Android device. Check it on a variety of different tablets, you know, a laptop, a desktop, and make sure that website is rendering properly across all devices, because the vast majority of searches now are taking place on mobile devices. So your website can't just look good on a desktop anymore.
Okay, so if somebody does need to hang up right now, you just gave them an action plan of one, which and I think you're saying this is mission critical, right?
Absolutely. So if there was only one thing I would tell every agency to do with their website is, first and foremost, make sure it looks good, make sure it's professional, the navigation is clean. Obviously, those are important, but it does have to look great on a mobile device.
Okay.
In addition to that, I would also say having a simple, user-friendly quote form is more important than ever.
Uh-huh.
People are, you know, really acting quickly online. They're not sticking around to fill out long quote forms anymore. So, you know, if you're looking to capture that important information, at least start the quote process, make the form short, make it quick and easy to use, and then follow up with the client afterwards or the prospect afterwards to get the rest of the information that you need.
Right. Okay. So, and ideally in that situation, there it would be connected to some kind of email or marketing automation so that there's some automatic follow-up so that you know that the client's going to be touched immediately after they fill out their quote request form. But also, they need to be followed up probably with a phone call, yes, which is one of the downfalls of our industry, is that all the research that I'm reading seems to indicate that we're not following up nearly quickly enough, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The more automation you can build in, the better. And there's a lot of great technology out there now to help you do that, to automate email responses. There are email autoresponders out there that are very simple to use. But that real-time follow-up by somebody at the agency is the most important piece. So if somebody's filling out a form on your website, make sure that form is being monitored by somebody and that they're responding to those inquiries in a quick turnaround time frame.
Okay. I do want to circle back to the mobile or responsive website really quickly. Are you running into a lot of agency sites that are not? I'm assuming that you are.
Yes, yes. So, okay. As you know, I look at websites from agents all across the country. It's one of the main things I do is review websites and social media accounts for agents and provide some consultation in that area. And every time I review a website, it's the first thing I do. I pull it up on my computer, on my desktop, but then I also pull it up on my my iPhone just to see how it looks. And I would say it's probably, you know, the batting average is probably 50%.
Okay.
So half the time I pull it up on a mobile device. You know, it's scrunched together. It's not really legible. And again, that just does not provide a great user experience.
Got it. Okay. And it's bad for traffic. I was curious about that, like what your sense was of sort of the batting average in the industry right now. So you're saying it's about 50%, not good.
At least on my side, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, it's, you know, to focus on the positive, the ones that I am pulling up that are mobile responsive, they look better than they ever have before. So obviously, as web designers and developers get more skilled with mobile responsive sites, that technology is improving. Those sites are looking better and better.
Yeah.
It's very easy to do now. It used to be a cumbersome process to create a separate mobile site, but most web designers can very quickly, you know, create a mobile responsive site. And it's just something, you know, that I know agents are busy and they don't have, you know, unlimited hours in the day. But it's, you know, certain things are more critical than others. You don't need to be updating your website on a weekly basis. That's more of what a blog and social media account are for. But the site does need to look good no matter how people are looking at it.
Okay. And you also said one other thing is to make sure that it looks good, for example, on a Droid and on an iPhone. So are you finding sometimes that a web designer will say, here's your site, but it actually is not performing well on, you know, across multiple devices?
It's certainly possible. I mean, I would hope that most web developers are testing it on different devices. But, you know, I always like to err on the side of caution and check it myself. So, you know, right away whether or not it's working on every device that's available out there or, you know, not just the device that you own.
Mm-hmm.
And then also browsers. So if you only use Internet Explorer or Chrome or Firefox, make sure you're testing it on different browsers, too, because different browsers also sometimes have a habit of improperly rendering sites. So it's, you know, take a half hour and test it on all devices and all browsers, and then you've got some peace of mind.
All right. So let's kind of walk through, what could actually happen. So an interested prospect pulls out their smartphone. They actually find the agency's site. And there is a user-friendly quote form, okay? What do you see as some of the elements that are going to convince or persuade a prospect to fill that form out? What are the critical design elements and perhaps the copy elements that you would recommend that an agency should have in order to get success from their site, not just traffic from their site?
Sure. So I think the call to action on the Get a Quote page is really essential to get right. You need to let people know exactly what the process is. You know, fill out this short quote form. We'll respond to you within, you know, 6 hours, 12 hours, whatever it is, next business day.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that the expectation is there that they will get a live follow-up very soon. And then really, it's up to the agent to determine what, you know, fields are required. Obviously, you want to get their contact information, their name. You want to capture their email address, phone number. But, you know, you really don't need to ask that many questions. I've seen some quote forms that are, you know, that literally take 20 or 30 minutes to complete if you went through the whole process.
Yeah, with a conversion rate of zero, right?
Yeah, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to make people go through that. The whole point is just to have them initiate the process on your website. They've got to your website somehow. They filled out the quote form, so they've already taken a couple of steps. But the most important step is what happens after they click submit and the follow-up that takes place after
got
that.
Got it. Okay. I do remember sort of in the early days of the Internet when websites were new, fresh, and exciting. Seeing some quote forms that were like 30 questions. And there was this sense that Well, the internet's changed everything. Now, you know, the consumer can do more of the work that we used to do. So let's get them to fill out the entire, you know, like the entire insurance form. And of course, it flat out didn't work, doesn't work, won't work. So essentially, I think what you're saying is that if they're expressing an interest, grab that interest and make it easy for them to express it. And then you've got work to do afterwards. But we can't expect customers and especially prospects to be their own customer service rep or CSR.
Right, so, right. And to tie that back into the mobile topic earlier, if people are filling out a quote form on a mobile device, they're not going to sit there for 20 minutes and scroll through all the different fields and complete everything. First of all, you know, chances are it probably doesn't look great on a mobile device, a very long quote form, unless it's been optimized for mobile. But
right.
Second of all, people just don't have the time to do that. They'd much rather, you know, complete a couple of fields and then have somebody get back in touch with them with a quote or to request additional information. So again, make sure that call to action, you know, is very clear. Make sure you set that expectation of what they can expect, and then don't make them go through a lengthy process.
What else do you think should be on the site that would make a prospect or a customer feel like taking action or earn their trust so that they want to engage?
So client testimonials are probably something that I wish more agents had on the homepage of their website.
Right.
It's something that, you know, social proof is a term that gets thrown around, but when people are online, if they're just moving to a new town or city and they're looking for a new insurance agent or they're looking to switch their insurance or just shop around their insurance, it's very helpful for people to read testimonials from other satisfied clients.
Right.
And I wouldn't bury those testimonials, you know, on an About Us page or somewhere else.
Right.
I would put at least a few of them very prominently displayed on the homepage. And then it's okay to have a separate tab just titled Testimonials or Reviews,
right,
where you could list out a bunch more, but at least give people a taste of what satisfied clients are saying on the homepage itself.
Okay. You mentioned reviews, and I definitely want to get your thoughts on that. But let's talk about traffic first. Let's talk about that dark art of search engine optimization, or SEO. That also is a kind of a subset of the digital marketing industry that's changed a lot since the early days. What kind of recommendations are you giving agents now to increase traffic to their site?
Sure. So SEO, again, you know, is one of those things that has evolved greatly. There are a million different blogs and websites out there teaching everybody the latest tips and tricks with SEO and how to, you know, beat the algorithms of the search engines and get ranked higher. But something with that, like SEO, I always say it's best to get back to the basics. You know, focus on those few foundational elements that really are going to, you know, drive the greatest results. And you know, the three that come to mind in terms of SEO basics really are backlinks. So having more reputable backlinks from sites like local real estate agencies or mortgage brokers, car dealerships, credit unions, or any other businesses that agents work with, that's really important because Google and the other search engines like to see that a website is receiving links
right.
from other reputable websites.
Okay, so
the more backlinks you can get, the better.
For those who aren't familiar with the term backlink, can you describe that, define that?
Sure. It's really just anytime a website adds a link to another website, that's essentially, you know, it could be an inbound link or a backlink. So if I own an insurance agency, I could reach out to a local car dealership that I work with and say, hey, would you mind giving a link back to my website, you know, put a link on your website over to my agency, and I'll include a link from my agency over to your car dealership. So that's essentially what we would call a reciprocal link. But
right.
a backlink is really just a link that is coming back to your website. And it, again, it just tells the search engines that, hey, this website is good enough for other people to be linking to, so it must have some good content.
Got it. Okay. All right, so that's number one.
Yep.
Number two, What else?
Number two would be content. So again, it sounds simple and it sounds basic, but it really is important. And as we mentioned before, you don't need to be updating your website on a weekly basis. But I definitely recommend every agency having a blog on their website. It's a very easy way to keep your content fresh on your website. It's a great way to build out your site's library of content and make sure that when you're blogging, that every post really revolves around one or two important keywords, and make sure that you're including those keywords in the title of the blog post and several times throughout the body of each post. Because again, you know, we're trying to do two things when we're blogging. We're trying to tell the search engines what we're blogging about, and by making sure you select those keywords, whether it's home insurance, umbrella insurance, boat insurance, whatever it is, whatever you're blogging about, you want to use those keywords, you know, throughout your post and in the title. But then you're also, you want to make it really useful for visitors, for the people, the actual people that are reading the blog post. So, you know, too often you see, you know, people that or bloggers that are, you can tell, are writing things just for the search engines, and then in turn they're not really providing the most helpful content. So you want to accomplish both.
And Brad, I mean, it seems to me that there's a growing amount of evidence that would indicate that writing for search engines and not people is a progressively bad idea, because search engines are getting smarter.
Right. So, and with all the updates that Google has released, they've basically been saying that that the whole purpose of them ranking sites higher is they want to rank sites higher that are providing the best content.
Right.
They want to provide the best results to people that are searching for topics like insurance. So you want to write for people. You obviously want to make sure you're using the right keywords. If you have an insurance agency website, you want to make sure most of your blog posts revolve around the topic of insurance, at least in some way. So you become an authority on that topic. But you're right. You know, it's you write for people, write helpful tips, write good content that people are going to want to consume and share with others. And that's really what Google has been saying. You know, you can't trick the search engines like you used to be able to. So you might as well just put out great content.
All right. So let me phrase my question this way, Brett. If you could wave a magic wand and make agencies update their blog or create a new blog entry, you know, with some frequency, how often would you have them do that?
It's a great question, and there's hundreds and hundreds of studies that will all tell you something different on the topic of frequency and timing and what day is the best to post, you know, what time of day is the best. But, you know, what I tell agents is, and again, this is my own assessment of the situation, is really more is better than less.
Yes.
And just test different dates and times and find out what works for you. It's again, you know, it comes back to measurement. You know, if you only post on Mondays, how do you know that maybe posting on Tuesdays or on the weekend might not be better, might not get more engagement for your particular business or your particular audience. So there's no right or wrong, I would say, system when it comes to how frequently you post. But if you have a blog, and I do recommend blogs for most business owners, and that includes insurance agents, you know, at least try to keep it updated semi-frequently. So once a month, maybe at a minimum. Ideally, you'd probably want to see it once a week.
Okay.
but it's not something you have to do every single day, and I think that's when people get overwhelmed, as they think they start a blog and now they've got to think of something every day to put on it, and that's just not true.
Okay, so let's address that one, because that's a common issue. You know, obviously, my observation, spending a lot of time with insurance agents and brokers, is they have plenty to say. There is a tremendous amount of expertise and authority and knowledge that can be shared, but a lot of agents and brokers would say, well, but I'm not a writer. You know, I'm not comfortable with that. And so sometimes there's a little bit of that, you know, blank page panic that takes over and they don't know what to say. What would you say to agents who recognize, okay, I need to be communicating with my customers in marketplace, but I want some help getting there? How would you What advice would you give agents who are trying to get over that hump of, you know, because it's a new experience for people? You know, somebody may have been in the industry for 20 years and never actually wrote an article, which is essentially what a blog is. What do you want to say to them about that? How can you make it that easier for them?
Yeah, I think it's really simple. I think you just want to take a look at all of the questions you're answering on a daily basis anyway. So when clients are calling, asking questions, they might be very basic insurance questions
right.
to an insurance agent, but uh-huh. for the general public, you know, maybe they don't understand exactly what comprehensive coverage is. Maybe they don't understand why they should have an umbrella policy. You know, what is the difference between liability and some other types of coverage? So agents receive these questions all the time
right.
from their clients, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they just jotted them down, you know, every time they answered a phone call or answered an email and answered those questions. That's the best content to blog about because you don't really need to think too hard about it. You really just want to answer those questions that people are asking, and chances are those are the same questions that people are typing into search
exactly.
engines when they're looking for answers related to insurance. So, you know, answer those questions and then blog about them, or just
okay.
keep a running list and have everybody at the agency keep a running list of the most common questions they're getting, and you'll probably never run out of content that way.
Reminds me of a relatively famous quote among copywriters from Robert Collier. I think it was around 1950. He said, enter the conversation that's already going on in your customer or prospect's mind.
Exactly.
So things don't change that much. I mean, here we are 65, 70 years after he said that. And essentially that's what you're encouraging people to do is to know what's going on in the mind of the marketplace and enter that conversation.
Yeah,
okay.
I agree with you, Michael. And just to build off of that a little bit more, I read somewhere that people are, when they're on Google, when they're on a search engine, they're usually looking for one of two things, either to be entertained or to get an answer to a question. So either you provide entertainment on your website or
right.
you provide useful content, helpful answers to common questions. Chances are, you know, when people are searching for insurance agents, they might want to learn about the actual, you know, agency. They'll click on your about page, sure.
Yes.
They want to know a little bit more about who you are and what you do. But at the end of the day, what are they really looking for? They're looking for answers and solutions to their insurance-related problems and questions. They either think they're paying too much for insurance, or they haven't shopped around their policy in a while, or they're looking, you know, to determine whether or not they need more coverage, or whatever the case may be. The whole reason they're online, the whole reason they're on an agency website is to get some answers to their insurance questions. And you know, if you provide that content and if you provide those answers, that's when you start being seen as an expert. And the more you do that, the more frequently you blog and the
uh-huh.
more frequently you answer those questions, you're just building up a bigger library of great content on your website. And it's great for people, and it's also great for the search engine. So, again, you're accomplishing both purposes that we talked about earlier.
Right. The library is still there. So whatever you wrote last year is still going to be resident on your site. So you continue to – you build that content over time. So, all right. So backlinks, content, and the blog being a critical part of that. What else – would you say to agents, they should, like, pay attention to this if you want to get traffic? Is there anything else?
Yeah, a couple other things I would mention on the topic of SEO is if you've never had an SEO audit done, it's something I would certainly consider. If you've never asked your web developer, you know, how well are your pages performing? How frequently are people visiting the different pages or different blog posts on your site? Those are great metrics to take a look at. And to see, you know what pages on your site are attracting the most traffic, and then if you hire an SEO specialist, even if it's a one-time thing or have an SEO audit done, you're going to learn a lot about your website and how it's performing, and that will give you some information in terms of how you can rank your website higher. So once you have a website built, you know, a lot of times I feel like the relationship almost ends with the web developer. You know, they build the site, it goes live,
right.
they show you how to publish your blog, and then you never hear from them again, or, you know, it's just the relationship, is somewhat over at that point. But I highly recommend keeping in touch with your web developer, making sure that you're asking those questions when they're building the site or when you're rebranding a website? You know, are we making sure that we're optimizing this website for SEO? Are we doing everything possible to make sure that people are going to find this website when they search for insurance-related terms? So, you know, just hiring an SEO consultant is a wonderful thing to do if you're not, you know, comfortable, you know, reviewing those metrics yourself.
A good SEO consultant can help you become better at that yourself and teach you how to use Google Analytics and things like that.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely. So you want to take a look at that information, at least on a periodic basis. Again, you don't want to be consumed by your analytics, but if you're not ever looking at them, then you're not really learning what's working on your website and what's not.
All right. So you said something a few minutes ago I want to circle back to for a moment, the About Us page. So interestingly, in the sites that are developed by Agency Revolution, the second most visited page, other than the homepage, is the About Us page, which seems to indicate that not only do people want information, you know, they want answers to the questions, they want solutions to their problems, but they also seem to care about not just the what, but the who. They seem to probably kind of the nature of us being a tribal species. They seem to want to find out, you know, who's behind that, and can I trust them, and can I connect with them, and what are they like? Have you seen agencies that do a good job of delivering that sort of that sense of humanity to the audience?
Oh, absolutely. And the About Us page is really, you know, another critical piece of a good website. People want to see the face of the business owner. They want to read a little bit about the history of the agency owner or the agency itself. Again, if you're looking to do business with an insurance agent, insurance is a very personal thing. You're protecting your belongings. You're protecting your home and your vehicles and your family. It's something where you want to feel very comfortable doing business with that agent or that agency. So it's really important to put some history of the agency on the site, to show the faces of the staff that works there, right. Some bios for everybody. And, you know, the more personal you make it, the better. Because most of the people, especially when we're talking about independent agents that are doing business with the agency, are local. So right. Talk about, you know, what you do within the local community. Talk about any charities that you partner with and the sponsorships that you do, whether it's local sports teams or something else, you know, any events that you do for the community, whether it's a paper shredding event. You know, I know agents do a lot of different things like right. flag exchanges. Agents are part of their community, and that's something that should be promoted and talked about on the website. It's building relationships. You know, it's sometimes difficult to build genuine relationships online, but social media definitely helps with that.
Uh-huh.
A good blog helps with that. And just making sure that your agency website, you know, has all of that information about who you are, what you do, and what you do within the community is really important. And you're right. I have noticed that, you know, reading, you know, studies that the About Us page is a very highly clicked on page. People, you know, at least they're going to click on it once when they come to the website. They might not spend the most time there. They might, you know, but they're definitely going to check it out at least once.
Well, it represents a distinctive feature that we have that the direct channel, you know, or the mass marketers doesn't have. We are real people in real communities or in real niches, and so there's an opportunity to make a connection that, you know, that Flo or the Gecko, they can't do. So you threw out the word, you threw out the phrase, social media. Let's take a look at that one. That also seems to be a part of the digital landscape that has changed tremendously in the last few years and probably will in the next few years. What do you want to say about that big category?
Well, I would say that we're definitely, you know, hitting on a theme here of back to basics. And social media, you know, even more so than SEO, it seems like every month there's a new social platform popping up, or there's a new article about why businesses should, you know, embrace a different social platform.
Right.
But to be honest, Michael, you know, the agents that I work with, the best results that they're seeing or the best results that they're telling me about are still coming from Facebook and LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Those are the two two sites that I hear the most about, that agents are telling me they're receiving the most leads from. They're actually closing the most business from those two sites. LinkedIn obviously is great for networking. It really can't be beat. It's the most professional of the social media platforms. It's great for connecting with other local businesses and for prospects, both in the commercial and personal space. And Facebook is great for building relationships too, but as you know, and as many others have probably read,
right,
organic reach on Facebook has gone down pretty significantly couple of years.
Right.
Which means that every post that you're putting out on your Facebook page, you know, people might be seeing, you know, one out of every 10,
yeah,
as opposed to a few years ago, people might be seeing the vast majority of your posts in their newsfeed. Well, Facebook, you know, obviously their goal is to make money, so they're trying to drive businesses to purchase more of their ads. And, you know, it's not a bad thing because the businesses that are getting more involved with Facebook ads and doing some paid social media are seeing great results, and it's really a cost-effective way to advertise online. It's a great way to get your agency's Facebook page in front of new prospects. There's a ton of different audience filters that you can use when you're setting up an ad to make it more effective. You can set your budget. You don't have to spend a ton of money. You can set your budget. Maybe it's $20 a week, or maybe it's $100
right,
a month to run some ads on Facebook. And there's tons of tutorials out there to teach business owners how to get the most out of their Facebook ads.
The quality of the ad matters, right? The quality of the copy,
absolutely,
and the image. Okay.
Yep. It is. It's the quality of the ad. It's everything from the image to the ad, you know, subject line to the copy. But then also it really, you know, the filtering of the ad,
yes,
as well. So you can waste a lot of money if you're targeting your ad to everybody in your state. But you really want to get smart about using those filters so you can create really highly targeted ads that perform much better.
All right. Okay, so very briefly, so you covered the where, like the two sites, back to basics. In your back to basics theme, that you see are getting the most traction for agents are Facebook and LinkedIn. Talk to us for a moment about the what. What should people be saying? What should they be doing?
So in terms of content, you know, again, we'll start with LinkedIn real quickly. But LinkedIn, I feel every agency should have a LinkedIn page for the business, but then every employee at the agency should be creating their own personal LinkedIn account. And obviously listing that they work at the agency is something they can put on their LinkedIn page. And then they can use that as their professional social platform, social site where they can network, where they can engage with others, they can post content. So it's really just about building up a large network of people using LinkedIn. So posting, you know, business-related information, you know, you want to become a thought leader on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You can publish. You know, a lot of people set up their LinkedIn profile, and then they never go back to LinkedIn to you know, post anything else. So, you know, if you have a blog, you know, that you publish on your website, you know, share that information on LinkedIn as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a great idea to share other people's content. So, you know, people love getting a share. You know, that's why social media can be so addictive, because people love when people endorse their content by commenting on it and sharing it. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, you want to share your own content. You want to make sure that you're establishing yourself and your agency as a thought leader and an expert. But then you also want to, you know, share other people's content as well. And that goes a long way to building, you know, strong relationships. In terms of Facebook, it's not necessarily the 80-20 rule. It's probably, in my opinion, more like the 60-40 rule, you know, being 60% of the time you want to be posting about insurance-related topics, providing helpful tips like home maintenance tips or vehicle maintenance tips. You know, safety-related information, emergency preparedness, so things that are loosely tied to insurance, maybe not talking about insurance products directly,
right,
but talk about those topics that are related to insurance, because then you're adding value and providing helpful information. But then the other 40% of the time, really use those opportunities to humanize your brand, to really show what you're doing in the community. You know, talk about maybe some of the businesses that you insure, you know, give them a spotlight on your page. But anything that you're doing locally, sharing local news or If a disaster, you know, hits your area, obviously it's been a really right. tough hurricane season. But you want to, you know, you don't just want to be, you know, seen as somebody that sells insurance. You want to be seen as the type of agency that is also providing, you know, really useful tips, really helpful information when weather events are happening. You know, you want to be there for people in their time of need. So it's about sharing great insurance-related content. Of course, the end goal is to hopefully, you know, keep clients and attract new clients. But I think the best way to do that is to just build those genuine relationships. And the best way to build relationships is to add value.
Okay, so I like your formula. You know, somebody might want to adjust the numbers, but this is what I notice about it, and I want your feedback on this. Whatever the number is, 60% add value related to insurance and protection and so on and so forth. 40% humanize your brand and be real people. 0% buy insurance from me.
Okay. Yeah, well, maybe we can adjust that a little bit and say, you know, there's nothing wrong with 5% of the time periodically reminding people, but I wouldn't do it
one out of 20, obviously. Maybe. Okay, but this is a long way from, I think, maybe some of the early days of social media, and I fortunately don't see as much of it as I used to, but there was a lot. Like, people thought, oh, I can just jump onto, you know, Facebook and say, buy from me, which didn't work. And every time I saw it, I just grimaced and I thought, oh my God, no wonder people, you know, squirm when they think of the insurance industry. So in essence, however it's done, the overwhelming amount of communication is about delivering value to the reader. Yes?
Absolutely. And you know, just to talk about that 5% of the time a little bit more, there's obviously a right and a wrong way to remind people that you sell insurance. And, you know, the best examples that I see are when an agent will simply say, hey, it's January 1st, or, you know,
right.
or
okay.
it's the start of a new year. You know, when was the last time that you know, made sure that your insurance policies were up to date? You know, contact our agency. We'd be happy to provide you with a complimentary insurance review. Or maybe it's summertime and you're
right.
telling people if they're taking long road trips or going on vacation, give our agency a call if you purchased a new vehicle or haven't updated your insurance coverage in a while. We'd be happy to take a look at it for you. So again, it's positioning it in a way where you're still adding value, but then you're also, you know, hoping to have that person call your agency and give you a chance to review their insurance. And if there's any policy is missing, maybe it's a great opportunity to see if you can get an additional line of business from somebody, or maybe they just purchased a house. It's one of those things, and maybe they need an umbrella policy. The more you can, you know, stay in touch with them, the more frequently they contact your agency and, you know, you can have those discussions, the better. And that's why, you know, the importance of, you know, annual account reviews is something that, you know, I feel every agency should be doing, you know, taking that time at least once a year to touch base with every client and make sure that they have everything that they need, or if they have any questions, you can answer them for them before they, you know, even think about shopping around.
Got it. All right. I said we were going to circle back to the to what maybe this will be our final topic of the day. Review sites, which are sort of like the sidecar of social media. I mean, they are, in a sense, social media. People can share things with a broader audience. And it's a social media that can have, in this case, really significant business implications. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, what would you say to agents about Google Review, Yelp, et cetera?
Yeah, review sites are, I feel, still underutilized, and it's unfortunate because they're free to use most of the time. Obviously, you can
right.
do certain, you know, paid campaigns on sites like Yelp or Angie's List, but it's a very easy thing that any agent can do to help with their SEO, to help drive more leads to their website, and it's critically important because when people are searching for businesses on Google, and that local search map pops up, right? If I type in insurance agent and the name of a town or a city, you're going to get that local search map that pops up.
Right.
Google might not come right out and say it, but if you do your own experiments, you'll quickly see that typically businesses that have the most reviews and the most you know, 4- and 5-star reviews are
right.
coming up first. And I've tested this in various markets, and it really does seem to be pretty consistent. So you can try it for yourself. You can type in, you know, insurance agency in the town where you live, and you'll see that more often than not, businesses that have reviews are coming up higher than others. And it's a very simple process. If you're looking to get more reviews or if you don't have any reviews currently for your agency, there's a few easy ways to do that. You know, at the point of sale is a great time to ask. Once you've sold a policy and the person is very happy with the service they receive, you can
right.
just ask them, hey, would you mind leaving a review for us on our Google Business page or on our Facebook page, or if you're on Yelp or Angie's list, you know, those are, you know, untapped opportunities as well, because people thought Angie's list and Yelp were only for contractors and restaurants, but that's not true anymore. There's more financial businesses getting involved on those sites as well, but still definitely not as many as you might think. So you could be maybe one of only a handful of insurance agents in your whole area listed on Yelp. And those sites are very popular with consumers. So getting more active on review sites, it's not hard. You can also add just a simple link in your email signature.
Uh-huh.
You think about how many emails you send out on a weekly basis. You know, just put a very subtle link saying if you're happy with our agency, you know, there's no greater compliment we can receive than a review online. So please leave a review for us here. It would mean a lot to us. And put a link to your Google Business page, again, or your Facebook page. But there's a lot of different ways to ask for reviews, and it's just about being proactive. You know, most people are not going to, you know, pause their day and go out and leave a review for a business unless they just had an amazing experience or an awful experience, right? The two opposite ends of the spectrum. But if you ask, most agencies would probably be surprised how many reviews they could get in a month if they just simply ask.
Got
the client.
It. Okay. So this is one case where Google's very sensitive about companies, merchants, gaming the system. Do you have any cautionary remarks about what agents should not do to secure reviews?
Yeah, review sites have always kind of had that reputation, and a lot of business owners, you know, and agents might say, well, I don't want to get involved with review sites because what happens if somebody leaves a negative review?
Yes.
And to be honest, people are talking about agents, and they're talking about companies and businesses on review sites, whether you like it or not. So, you know, inserting yourself into that conversation is probably more important than ignoring it. So if somebody leaves a bad review, on many of those sites, you have the opportunity to respond directly. And that also shows that you're a business that cares when you respond like that. So it's an opportunity for you to make things right and do it in a public forum. And also, it's, you know, if you get one bad review, it's not the end of the world.
Because, right.
you know, all you need to do is get a bunch of great reviews, and before you know it, that negative review might be buried under all your good reviews, and it's not really going to impact your overall, you know, star score that much. And, you know, one thing I always say, too, is don't just assume that a bad review is permanent. You know, you can try to resolve the situation and then ask that person nicely if they wouldn't mind removing the, you know,
right.
removing the bad review once you've helped them resolve the situation. But to go back to your you know, original question, Michael, it's, you know, there are always going to be people that game the system, and there's always going to be ways for businesses to find ways to leave fake reviews and boost their score. But the vast majority of the time, that's not taking place. So you're better off just, you know, ignoring, you know, those practices, not getting yourself too concerned with them, and just focusing more on how can you get more positive reviews for your business. And move yourself up in those local search maps.
I think that one of the concerns Google has, for example, is that they want the reviews to be relatively organic. Okay, so it's okay to ask for them, but they're a little bit sensitive to, for example, doing an e-blast and asking, you know, 5,000 customers to do them at once, and then boom, you get a sudden spike. That can be viewed with suspicion. And of course, with Agency Revolution being in the marketing automation business, that's easy to do, but not something we encourage people to do. So there are ways to drip that out over your client base throughout the course of the year, but generally speaking, wouldn't recommend somebody to send a massive blast that would result in a sudden spike. You don't need to do that.
Yeah, I would agree completely. It's something that should happen over time. And as long as you're, you know, putting those practices, you know, in place over time, you will hopefully, you know, acquire more reviews. Every month you should have more reviews than you did the previous month. But,
right.
But you're right, that would definitely raise a red flag if okay. you all of a sudden had zero reviews and then the next day you have 50. So
yeah.
you want to be strategic about it and let it happen organically.
Okay. So before we wind up, we've talked about I have a feeling, Brett, that if you and I had this conversation when we first met, it would have been a different conversation. The nature of the technology changes, the nature of the rules of the game change, consumer expectations change. And so keeping your finger on the pulse, staying current is a challenge. And not everybody, I mean, perhaps you and I devote a great deal of our career to staying on top of this. Not everybody has the time to do that. What would you suggest to agents who want to stay on top of it but still need to optimize the use of their time?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's that always goes back to that question of time, right? How many hours do you have in the day, you know, to dedicate to learning more about topics like marketing? And as we all know, agents are so busy doing a million different things that marketing is not always on the top of their list. But I would say for anybody even listening to this podcast, you know, there's a pat on the back for anybody listening, because just listening to podcasts like yours and others out there is a great place to get a lot of good information from the industry and experts talking about a wide variety of topics that impact agents. So listening to podcasts, you know, reading, you know, industry blogs and articles from industry experts, you know, and even not just industry experts, but even marketing authorities like
right.
HubSpot and
mm-hmm.
Social Media Examiner. You know, there are tons of websites out there and blogs that publish great information. And you know what? You don't have to overwhelm yourself. I wouldn't subscribe to, you know, 20 different blogs and
right.
listen to, you know, 15 different podcasts. But, you know, find a couple that really resonate with you that you feel are providing great information and follow them. And you don't have to implement everything they say. Again, focus on the basics and what you feel is going to move the needle the most, as opposed to chasing down every new, you know, tip and trick in the book. And that's a great place to start. In addition to that, I would also, you know, say to agents that partnering with their carriers that offer digital marketing support is really, really important. And most carriers, you know, are certainly, you know, supporting agents, you know, with marketing. Here at Travelers, for example, we have a comprehensive marketing toolkit. And within that toolkit, we have everything from an e-card library to a video customizer tool. We've got an ad creator tool that agents can use to build online and offline ads. You know, we have even a new digital marketing training program for agents where they can access, you know, on-demand modules that will teach them how to do more digital marketing on their own. And it's really focused on, you know, best practices and just mastering the basics of social media, SEO, email marketing, and those types of things that agents ask about all the time. So carriers definitely, you know, have a lot to offer. And you know, leaning on the carriers is a good thing.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to do everything yourself. And here at Travelers, we have a wonderful team of knowledgeable sales executives that will assist agents, you know, face-to-face or virtually, and also a whole home office support staff to help agents with marketing. So you can certainly find a lot of good information on your own. I highly recommend tuning into podcasts and subscribing to great blogs that are focused on topics related to digital marketing in the insurance industry. But, you know, I wouldn't sell short the idea of definitely working with your carriers as much as possible, because, you know, we're all in this together. We're all hoping to drive more business and make sure that that independent agents remain strong and profitable for a very long time to come.
I suspect, Brett, that a great number of the people who are listening to this podcast have some relationship with Travelers. And I'm assuming that you have some of the tools that you referenced are proprietary to the Travelers family. If they want to find out more, or if anybody wanted to reach out to you and ask you a question, how can people do that?
Well, I can certainly be found on LinkedIn. So anybody can search for me on LinkedIn. Again, travelers agents can certainly contact their local travelers personal insurance sales executive to talk about any of the marketing tools and resources that we have. And anybody else can find, you know, find us on travelers.com. We've recently added a lot of new sections to our travelers.com website, including a Home Central section that provides great consumer education on all topics related to purchasing a home and moving and home maintenance. We have a prepare and prevent site that provides great weather preparedness and emergency preparedness tips that's open to the general public for anybody to take a look at. But that's what I would say. You know, they could either contact me directly if they're interested in anything we talk about today, or reach out to their traveler sales executive, or just find more information on our company website.
All right. Brad, I have one last question for you. Okay?
Okay.
If you could imagine the insurance industry driving down insurance highway at 65 miles an hour, and you got one billboard to say something to them that mattered, and if it had too many words, they're not going to be able to read it at all, what would you say?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. It's it's hard to put to put everything I'd like to say on one billboard.
I know it is.
But I guess to summarize, you know everything that we talked about today and how strongly I feel about, you know, the digital world, I would probably put something to the effect of embrace digital up there. Short and sweet. And
yeah.
It's, you know, so many agents, you know, and business owners in general are doing digital marketing because they feel they have to. And they sometimes it feels like more of a chore than it should, because the difference between doing something and feeling like it's a chore because you have to do it and embracing is night and day. So digital marketing in the world of all things digital is not going away. It's only going to grow from here on out, and it's going to grow even more rapidly. So by embracing digital and by embracing digital marketing and getting excited about it and excited about the future of it, I think will really help position any agency for success in the future. So that's what I would say.
All right. Terrific. Brett, this was a master class in back to the basics. So I really, really appreciate this. And this is one where I will encourage agents to not only listen, but when the transcripts are available, check out the transcripts. You gave a lot of value here. Brett, hope to see you in Hartford, Connecticut before too long. But for today, thanks so much for everything that you shared. And also thanks to Travelers for their commitment to the independent agent community.
Thank you, Michael. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking Media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.